Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Ecclesiastes today, so if you find the Psalms near the middle of the Bible, take a right, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes, find chapter 7. We'll be reading Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, taking some devotional pauses, thinking about application at the end, and then closing in prayer, and I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Ecclesiastes 7, let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these words of poetry and wisdom and from Solomon's perspective as he looks at life. Help me to understand it. Help me to apply it to how you want me to look at life. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes 7. A good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. Starting out sounding very much like Proverbs. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. That's a little non-Proverbs-like. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise person into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of the matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, "Why were the old days better than these?" For it's not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing, and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this: God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. In this meaningless life of mine, I've seen both of these: the righteous perishing in their righteousness, and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Do not be over-righteous, neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over-wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. Wisdom makes one wise person more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I tested by wisdom, and I said, "I am determined to be wise." But this was beyond me. Whatever exists is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? So I turned my mind to understand, to investigate and to search out wisdom in the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose trap heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. The man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner she will ensnare. "Look," says the teacher, "this is what I have discovered. Adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things, while I was still searching but not finding, I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all." "This only have I found. God created mankind upright, but they have gone in search of many schemes." Very interesting, isn't it? Solomon's writings here. Some of us like scratch your head. What is he talking about? But remember, he's kind of looking, even at wisdom, he's looking at all of this from the perspective of what does it matter, you know? And is there some wisdom to be found? Are there some things to focus on? Are there some things to enjoy? And he does find that. It's just very interesting from his perspective. This is the wisest guy who ever lived, chapter 8. "Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, 'What are you doing?' Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure. For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone else what is to come? As no one has power over the wind to contain it, So no one has power over the time of their death. As no one is discharged in time of war, so wickedness will not release those who practice it. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There is a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt. Then, too, I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This, too, is meaningless. When the sentence for the crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth, the righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of the life God has given them under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God has done. No one can comprehend what goes in under the sun. Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. That's the end of chapter 9. And the end of our reading for today. Very interesting as he talks about wisdom. And even himself, really, he's talking about at the end there. To think you can figure everything out. He's kind of sharing with us, he searched everything. He's the wisest guy who ever lived. He's the richest guy who ever lived. And yet, searching after all that stuff did not bring him satisfaction or contentment. And he's trying to find things that we can have simple satisfaction in. And it's not till the end of the book where he really brings it home to where our hope lies. So what is it that you take away from these couple of chapters in terms of application? It's hard to find a lot of encouraging, uplifting things here. I think what's helpful for me is even in the midst of it, he will bring out some truths that he brought out in Proverbs. And it's a reminder that, what God has said, what he has done is the best thing. Chapter 7, verse 13. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? It doesn't always look the way we want it to look. It doesn't always turn out the way we want it to turn out. So we have a choice of how we're going to approach it, how we're going to have the attitude of approaching it. And so just remember that God is always right. God is always true. And even when my wisdom fails me, and it's not the way I think it should be, still, trusting in God and his sovereignty is what keeps our heart at peace in what Solomon describes as a very meaningless existence. So I'm going to commit myself to remembering that this is all about God, my relationship with him, the truth of his word, and living them out. That's what really matters. I can take my enjoyments and the different things that happen in life, but in the things that really make me crazy and that are discouraging and hard, I can still trust in what God is doing. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Ecclesiastes. Lord, it's very challenging to read this coming from the wisest man who ever lived. And he's struggling. And it's good to hear that struggle and see that struggle because I also struggle with it. But Lord, to come back to remember, you have given us some incredible joy in this earth, things to focus on. But especially, Father, to remember that you are in control. There's nothing we can do to change your path. And it's best to embrace it, even when it's really hard. I want to trust you, Father, in your sovereignty, in your will, and align my life to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.